Welcome to the Every Nation Hong Kong podcast. Every Nation is a church that exists to honor God and make disciples. We pray that this message blesses you. Now, here's your message.
Thank you, Pastor Francis. Good morning, everybody. Morning. Hope you're doing well. Wow, that's good. I like the response. So, as Pastor Francis said, you know, we are going to have a little bit of a serious break, but I was just really happy that, not just happy, but it's been a really great series on talking about great faith, right, for the past 6 weeks, actually since the beginning of the year when we did the prayer and fasting, and then we started on looking at Hebrews 10, 11, and a little bit part of 10, mostly Hebrews 11, and a little bit of part of chapter 12 as well. So if you haven't heard all of it, if you just heard some of it, welcome to go on our website and listen to our podcast. And really, it's been a great journey to think about great faith, how we can live in great faith. So my question is, who is living a life of great faith right now? Good, I'm glad that you are living great faith. Great faith does not come from us, but the great faith comes from God. And next week, I'm also super excited as well for next week that we're going to look at another book. We're going to look at the book of Luke next week. And in fact, like what we said last Sunday, that we're going to read not just the book of Luke, but we're going to read from the book of Luke and the book of Acts together, not just as Every Nation Hong Kong, but with many other churches in Hong Kong as well. As we go into the Lent period before Easter, we're going to read many churches in Hong Kong, both international churches and local churches are going to read the book of Luke and Acts together. We're going to tell you more about it later on today, and also next Sunday too, on how we can listen to the app, listen to the Bible, and read the devotions together. So hopefully, maybe even if you have friends in the workplace who are also Christian, maybe they'll be using the same app as well, that you can discuss about what you've been reading in Luke and Acts. And so we're going to look at Acts next week, but as Pastor Francis said, we're going to look at one of our favorite topics. I think one of our favorite topics. We're going to look at marriage and singleness. All right. Who among you is happily married here? Who among you are happily single here? All right. I'm glad you're both happy. I was a bit nervous about the response when I asked that question. But you know what? That's the right answer. You are happily married and you can be happily single. Woo! Wow. That's more than I expected. You are now dismissed. I don't need to talk anymore. This, my goal for today was to make sure that you know you can be happily married and happily single. That's the end. So you can go now. No. But we're going to look at happily, not just how to be happily married and how to be happily single. Happily, is that a word? Happily single. But anyways, the other day we were in our staff meeting and Hong shared with us from Psalms 37. And I thought it's really true when we even talk about love, that at the end of the day, especially since we've been talking about great faith, at the end of the day, having great faith, we need to have foundation. We need to have foundation in the Word of God, foundation with our relationship with God. Before we can say, really, we're happy or we live a joyful life, right? And I love this translation from the Message version. It says from Psalm 37:31, second part, I believe, our first part of 31. It says, "His heart pumps God's word like blood through his veins." I like that description about how the word of God is like, you know, blood pumping up. It's like pumping through our veins, right? It's like having the word of God inside of us. Because a lot of the times when we get distracted, we sometimes forget what the word of God says, all right? Right? About relationships, as we talk about relationship this morning. Sometimes we think about other things. We try to think about what the world says, about different opinions. And since we're talking about relationship, I realize it's not today when I talk about, I'm sharing with you about singleness and about marriage, but it is not my opinion on what I look at singleness and marriage. I want to look at what God says his opinion about marriage, his opinion, his word about singleness. And so I wanted to use this first to kind of just as an introduction to talk about relationship. But in fact, the word of God is amazing because it says also in the Song of Songs, right, that many waters cannot quench love, neither can floods drown it. If a man offered for love all the wealth of his house, he would be utterly despised. It's so true. Love is a powerful thing, right? Do you agree? Love is so powerful. Love can drive you crazy, in a sense, right? Love can just... When you see people falling in love, what do you see? What's that? Inspired? Blind? Oh, blinded. I like that word. Blinded by love. It's not just blind faith. It's blind love. Sometimes you think... I won't tell you my love story because it will take, 5 hours. But when you fall in love for the first time, you can remember it, right? Hopefully you can remember. Hopefully you're still living it. Who is happily married here? You remember, right? If your wife or your husband is there, tell them, I love you. No, not I, but you love them. But love is a powerful thing. But love, if you will agree with me, can be a painful thing as well, right? The pain. Oh, we will have tissue if you need to cry. But it's a powerful thing. It can be a painful thing, but it can be a very joyful thing. But, that's a big but, we live in a world where sometimes we call it the I world, right? It's about me. It's about what I can do about love. I like what John said and during the worship time that, it's all about grace. His grace overflows in our lives. It's not about the I. It's not about me. Love is not about me. God is love. I was at a seminar. Some of us were in a seminar, a few of us, a few months back at the end of last year. And the speaker was speaking on marriage and singleness. And he started off by saying this. He said, because we live in the I world, things get a bit distorted. He said, sex has been degraded and defiled. Marriage has been redefined and undermined. And singleness is pitied and envied. This is the society that we live in, that things concerning sex, things concerning marriage, things concerning our understanding of singleness has been changed. But like I was saying before, I want us to look, even for a short moment this morning, what God has to say about marriage, what God has to say about sex, what God has to say about singleness. I don't think I can go through every single thing, obviously, what God has to say in half an hour. I hope we have more time, maybe in other times in this year. But I want to just get us thinking about it. What does God have to say? Not what Pastor Sam has to say, but what does God has to say about this? Is that okay? So we're going to look at topic in a topical way. So I've chosen different passages. We're going to read from Ephesians first. Can we read this together from Ephesians chapter 5, verses 31 to 33? If you don't have a Bible with you, you can look at the big Bible behind me. So let's read this together. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. There's the word of God. Can I just pray again? Father God, I thank you for this time. Thank you for love. Thank you that this is something that you've given to us, that God, you are love. And we can't love unless we really understand about how you love us. And so this morning, Lord, may you use the preacher of your word to just remind us of your love for us. Remind us your definition of marriage. Remind us of your, how we should live our lives as single before we, as singles, Lord, in our lives. for those who are called to live in different seasons of our lives. So, Lord, we thank you for your word. In Jesus' name we pray and we say,
amen.
Talking about marriage, there are different definitions of marriage, right? I was reading, I think even just the other day, about marriage and even relationship, I think on the news, on the internet, some say now gender is not, some news item will say gender is not the most important thing as long as you have love, things like that. But what does God have to say about marriage and love? And I would like to summarize it in the short space of time that we have. First of all, about marriage, and this definition I learned this from the seminar, from the talk that I went to, and it says this: marriage is the exclusive, covenantal sexual relationship of one man and one woman for life in the service of God. I'm going to break this down as we read from Ephesians. I want to break this down, and I want to have a look what God's word has to say about marriage. Marriage, first of all, is the exclusive. It's exclusive because it says, right, as I read from Ephesians chapter 5, it says, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. It is about how God is his idea. Marriage is his idea. It's not anybody else's idea. It's his idea that a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and how these two people will become one flesh. It is a profound mystery. But God is saying that it is exclusive. In fact, there are supporting verses in the Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, for instance, talks about both marriage and singleness. But God's definition, I believe, firstly, is about exclusive, and also that it's covenantal, right? It tells us that marriage is not ultimately about sex, about social stability or personal fulfillment, but rather marriage was created to be a human relationship, human reflection, of the ultimate love relationship with God. It's a way for people to see what is in a Christian marriage. People can see this covenantal relationship that we don't. We often say in a wedding, right? When I do weddings, when I officiate weddings, I will say, you may be signing a contract. You know, in Hong Kong, if you want to get married, it's relatively easy. I guess not just in Hong Kong. It's relatively easy to go to Tsim Sha Tsui or go to Central, right? And then you book a time. Normally within, I don't know, 2-3 weeks, you get a slot. And then I always tell the couple before they go in, I said, you know what? It's going to last only 5 minutes. And they're like, they get married, most of them, all of them getting married for the first time. So they're like, really? 5 minutes? Oh, yes. And then, because I've been to quite a few of these signing, and normally they're shocked. Oh, that's it. I just signed it. Because in cities like Hong Kong, you sign a contract when you get married, right? You sign a contract. It seems like a contract, but then God is saying it's a covenant. As a covenant between not just the two people getting married, it is also a covenant between the two people, and understand that God is the one helping them walking in their relationship for life. Covenant is a different thing, because I heard that one person once said, when you get married, normally we want to romanticize love, right? It's like, oh, I get married. You think about your wedding day, right? You think about the dress. I don't know what guys think about, but reception, you know, the whole wedding reception, you know, how to plan and everything, right? But then one person said, you know, you never really know who you're marrying, because that person changes, right? And often what happens is, because after you get married, you find that there's something different about that person. Because you're now living with them. It's like, oh, they don't look the same when I'm dating them. They look a bit different. Oh, they don't wear makeup. I mean, the girl looking at the guy, who don't wear makeup? you find something different, right? If it's a contract, it's like, oh, I didn't know that you don't brush your teeth. I didn't know you do this. And the problem arises when you realize, you feel like, this is not what it says. I thought it's this, but I'm not getting what I think I'm getting. And you know what? Marriage is like that. You never really know what you're getting, right? Because that person changes. I hope you have changed. If you have been married for 20 odd years, you have changed, right? So I'm sure your spouse has changed during that 20 years. And the problem arises is when you think, oh, they have to be like this. You were like this before. Esther, you're like this when you're 20. How come you're changing? You can't be. But if it's a confident relationship, you're not just looking at what happened when you got married. You're looking towards the future. You're saying, you know what? We are in this together. We're in this journey together. We've made that covenant, and under God, we're gonna walk together. We're gonna love no matter what. I'm gonna love you doesn't matter how much you change. I'm gonna love you because I see how God is changing you. I'm gonna love you because I know that God is changing me, God is changing you. And then it keeps on growing. And that's why when we even talk about the next half, when it talks about a sexual relationship, because that's one of the best gifts that God has given to us. That sex is not just for making babies, right? Sex is for us, for God has given sex to enjoy between a husband and wife. That it is not just about physical oneness, but it's about whole life oneness. It is not just the physical side of it, but it's the spiritual side, the emotional side of it, mental side of it, that it comes together. And that's why the Bible says, not what I say, that's what the Bible says, that physical, being physically vulnerable, you don't just give that physical, not just give yourself physically, but you give yourself in every aspect of our life. That's why sex is not just the physical side, but it joins us together. Bible says that, right? That sexual immorality, that's what Paul is saying, right? It does it to our bodies as well. That's why Paul also said in the same passage, right? That we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And that's why that sexual relationship, the Bible defines it within a marriage. But not only that, as I said, that this marriage is for life. It's not as long as we shall love each other. It's as long as we shall live. As long as we shall live, we will love each other. This is a covenantal, not just agreement. It's really by faith, that we live by great faith. But also, and I like this last part, this short part on marriage, that it is in the service of God. It is not just for personal, marriage is not just for personal satisfaction, but actually it is for personal sanctification. Let me say that again. It is not just for personal satisfaction, but it is for personal sanctification. Because if you go back in history, in a more traditional society, marriage can be seen as a social duty, right? Like, oh, you have to marry this person, you have to marry that person. It's about stability, it's about status. That's the traditional view of marriage. In the more contemporary, modern view, it is about how I feel, right? It's about personal fulfillment. It's about whether you can make me happy in this relationship. If I'm not happy, then maybe we're not made for each other. Sometimes we look at, or at least the world look at it this way, right? Well, if you're not happy, then it's okay. You can just separate, you can divorce. But yet, the Bible says it is not about you being happy. Hopefully, you are happy, but it is not about that. It is about helping, like I said just now, helping each other grow in our relationship with God. If you've been married for more than 5 years, you would know, right? There are differences, right? Have you ever argued in your marriage? No. Just strong, you know, discussion, right? Just really strong ones, you know? Passion. Yes, sorry, that's the word. Passionate argument. Oh, I mean discussion. passionate discussion about life, right? You get upset when you get married, right? No? Is it only me? No? Yeah, you don't know yet. No. But in a marriage, definitely, you get to learn about how to grow. I get to know about forgiveness when I ask Esther, forgive me, right? Normally, I'm asking Esther for forgiveness. But marriage is a great way to grow as a believer. Marriage is a great way to understand how to love without judgment. Marriage is a great way to love unconditionally. If you know me long enough, you know that I am quite passionate also about marriage, about family. And to be honest, it does sadden me a lot when I hear marriages breaking up, when I hear that things are not going well in someone's marriage. It just, God has wired me that when I hear those things, I just want, wow, what happened? I don't want to come as a judge, as judgment, come just judging it, but I just feel sad. I feel that burden. Because I believe that God wants us to have a wonderful marriage. God wants us to work out how to love one another, how to forgive one another. Maybe some of us has gone through difficult marriages. And I wouldn't be the first one. I wouldn't know how painful it has been for you. But I do know that God wants to heal. I believe that God is the ultimate healer. That maybe you've had a rough time in your marriage. But I believe that God can heal. God can heal you. God can heal you in your marriage. God can heal your spouse. And God can make it whole again. That's our hope that we have in Christ. And so I hope that in our marriage, that God will make a difference. God will change it. I know that it's painful for some of us. But I stand in faith. I stand in faith that God will bring healing to your relationship. God will bring healing. It might seem so difficult, but God will heal. Amen. I want to pray before I go into singleness. Let's just pray for that. Lord, I just pray for healing right now. Lord God, you are a great God, that you loved us, oh God. And your promise is that, of course, we said just now that for God so loved the world, that you send your only Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us. For those who believe in you, we shall not perish, but have eternal life. And I believe that, Lord, even in our present life, you will bring healing. Lord, I speak healing in the name of Jesus right now. Lord God, I thank you for your love. Marriage is indeed a profound mystery. We don't understand every single aspect of it. But one thing we do know, that you are working in our marriages. I lift up all marriages that are represented here. That, Lord, you will continue to help us mend our relationships in our marriage. That, Lord, you'll bring healing in our marriages. And, Lord, that it will become a testament, Lord, of your grace, of your love. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I'd love to speak to any one of you. You know, maybe you're going through a tough time. We'd love to pray. We want to stand firm, stand with you in by faith, by great faith, that God will make a difference in this year in your marriages. Amen. And now I want to go on. Who is happily single here? Seems like we're more happily single than happily married. Am I correct? Paul was single, right? Jesus was single. Single is good. The Bible says that. Paul says that. Because in 1 Corinthians, verse 7:7, it says, Paul says here, I wish that all were as I myself am, being single, but each has his own gift from God, one of one kind and one of another. I want to start by saying this, church, that sometimes culturally, in this city, we joke, right? We joke quite a bit about, oh, you're single, when are you going to get married, you know? right? Do you feel the pressure sometimes if you're single? Right? All the time, right? Probably. I must admit, I have a disclaimer here. I got married when I was 23, so I don't quite know what it is there. I don't have a long single life. But like Paul can say about marriage, since he was single, I believe even though I've been married for a lot of my life, but I believe that we can also speak about singleness as well. That first of all, not for you to not just to agree, but Paul says in the Word of God here, it is a gift. Who believes that singleness is a gift? Wow. I feel like I don't need to preach anymore. If you know that singleness is a gift, then it's good. Yeah. That's a gift of singleness. It's a gift to be single. We don't know whether that's for a lifetime. We don't know whether that's for a season in our life. But let's enjoy the season that you are single. Amen. Wow. I love the church. It's a gift because remember, it's God who gave us this gift of singleness. It is not just about how nice this gift looks like. The gift is about the gift, the one who gave the gift, right? The gift giver. God is the one who gave us, he gave Paul, for instance, the gift of singleness. As far as we know, he was single all throughout his life. And he had a lot to say about singleness. He said a lot about the benefits, the advantages of being single, which is very true. For those of us who are married, we know that we have different focuses. But if you're single, indeed, you have a lot more, not a lot more time, I want to say that, but then there'll be a lot, it's easier in some ways to focus on God. For us who are married, we have our, in a way, our responsibility, of course, to our spouse, to our family, to our kids. But as singles, there's a gift. But when you make decisions, I guess you don't have to think so much about your spouse if you don't have a spouse, right? There's a lot more time to think, to plan as well. But not only as a gift, but also in verse 8 of chapter 7 of 1 Corinthians, it says, to the unmarried and the widows, I say that it is good for them to remain single as I am. Not just it's a gift, but it's good. I am sensing that you are saying this by faith, right? Not by, by faith, right? That it's a gift and it's good. And you know what? Single men and single women, it's a calling, just like Paul had this calling. It doesn't disqualify you from serving God. Look at Paul. Look at his life. He was able to be a missionary. He was able to plant churches. He was able to lead churches. He was able to write most of the New Testament. Not a lot of the letters. It was a calling. It's not about whether you're single or whether you're married, but it is about God's calling for your life. And you know what? At the end of the day, it's better to remain single than to marry the wrong person. Maybe now should be testimony time, But it's true, right? And there are definitely many advantages of being single. My recommendation, my advice, this is my opinion, is that enjoy the time that you're single. Maximize your time as being single. Don't ever think that sometimes the society look down those who are single. And I want to just say this, that when Paul wrote to the Corinthians, the Corinthians, from their culture, singleness was looked down upon. It was a radical idea. In fact, Christianity brings a radical idea on singleness. Before, in places like Corinth, they will look at singleness as something like, you have to get married. You have to be stable socially, get married. But yet, Paul, in his letters, reminds us that it is a gift to be a single for however long that season may be. It was a radical, radical idea when he wrote that letter. And I believe that it is also a radical idea for us too, that to be single, it can be good, and it is a gift, and it is a calling. In verse 17, if I skip a few verses, Paul says, only let each person lead the life that the Lord has assigned to him and to which God has called him. This is my rule in all the churches. Whether you're married or whether you're single, it's the same thing. It is in the service of God. That we are single in the service of God. We are married in the service of God. That's why we shouldn't do like a Jonah, right? Run away from our calling. Otherwise, you might get eaten. But, you know, but we have to choose not to miss our calling. We don't know, we're not God. We don't know the timing of it. But I heard testimonies of singles who just really able to just get up and go to another country. It's a little bit more difficult. It is possible, right, for families to uproot and then move to another country as God has called them. But in many ways, it's easy for a single person to just go and move and be a missionary. There are advantages of being single in a way that we can be of service to God. And I want to just come to a summary here. In verse 35, Paul says again, I say this for your own benefit, not to lay any restraint upon you, but to promote good order and to secure your undivided devotion to the Lord. Undivided devotion. This is what we're aiming for, church. It is for our undivided devotion to God. Whether you're single, whether you're married, undivided devotion to the Lord. As you think about this, marriage and singleness, I want to end by just saying, remember, God is the one who made us. We're made in the image of God. He knows every single second of our lives. He knows when we're going to meet our spouse. He knows when we're going to get married. He knows it all. I know that sometimes we have this pressure, but yet, let's have undivided devotion to God. But not only that, remember, ultimately, we cannot love unless we truly understand the love of God in our life. We cannot make sense of what love is unless we can truly understand His love for us. A beautiful example is found in John chapter 4, right? When Jesus met that woman at the well. Remember that story? The woman had all these different husbands, different relationships, but yet she changed and became one of the greatest evangelists. She went back to her hometown because Jesus said to her that, I'm the living water. Sometimes we thirst after our relationship. And if we're honest, sometimes we make idols out of our relationship, right? We make our spouse our idol, even though we don't say who we are, that they are. But we focus a lot more time on our spouse than on God, right? We sometimes put romance as our idol. And this woman went through all this relationship. It did not satisfy her. But Jesus is our ultimate lover, lover of our soul, that He is the only one who can satisfy us. He died for us. And so, church, I want to just encourage all of us, whether you're single or whether you're married, let Jesus truly be the center of our lives. Let God speak to us. Let God use us. Because ultimately, both married and single Christians can bear a distinctive witness to the gospel. Marriage, as I mentioned, is a picture of a relationship between Christ and His church. But singleness also points to the sufficiency of Christ in any of our relationship, that ultimately it is our relationship with Jesus which is the most important. And so, church, once again, my message this morning is simple. whether you're single or whether you're married, let's have undivided devotion to God. Amen. I want to end by just singing that worship song, well, the worship song that we sang this morning. I really love the lyrics. Let me just read the lyrics before we sing. But in the song, right, it says, "Who the Son sets free? Oh, He is free indeed. I am." Turn to the person next to you. You are a child of God. Yes, I am. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God. Free at last, He has ransomed me. His grace runs deep. While I was a slave to sin, Jesus died for me. Yes, He died for me. I am chosen, not forsaken. Don't ever think you are forsaken, church. You are chosen. We're all chosen. I am who, not what the world says we are, whether we're married or single. We are who God say we are. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. Amen, church. Jesus says in chapter 4 of the Gospel of John, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." Church, we're talking about relationships. We're talking about being married, talking about being single. But ultimately, we're talking about being a son or being a daughter of God. That let's just, I want to pray that maybe this morning you've been thinking through different things. I know it's a sensitive, very sensitive topic for some of us, especially some of us who's went through brokenness in our relationships. But I want to give us an opportunity, just like Jesus talked to this woman at the well. Jesus is the living water that we shall never thirst. God is reminding that it's not about us having this, you know, having this dreams or about what this relationship, what this perfect relationship in humanly speaking can be like. God wants to have a relationship with us first and foremost. I want to invite us, for those who just want to come before God, I want to come to Jesus. I want to drink this living water. If that's you, I want to ask you to raise your hand and just pray. Let's just come back to Him. Let's just come back to Him this morning and say, "God, thank you. Thank you that Jesus is the living water. Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters. Lord, we don't know every aspect, any or the histories, but God, you know them well. Lord, you know us, God. And we just want to come before you right now and say, yes, I want to be, I just like that woman at the well, realize, wow, that Jesus, you are the living water that we shall never thirst again. And you said in here that we will also realize what it means that that spring of water welling up to know about this power of eternal life. And so, Lord God, may you remind us of your power. May you remind us of your grace. May you remind us of your power of your healing. Thank you, God. That we can truly worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, I pray for a blessing for us, no matter what status we're in, whether we're single, whether we're married, whether we're divorced. Lord God, you love us. And Lord God, I pray for every single one of my brothers and sisters here in this family, in this community, that we be reminded of your grace. Once again, I pray for your healing. I pray pray for your touch in our lives right now, in our families. Lord God, you know what we're going through. And I just pray for not just wonderful marriages, I pray for just your miraculous healing as well. So thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
You've been listening to the Every Nation Hong Kong podcast. To find out more about Every Nation Hong Kong, please visit us at www.everynation.org.hk or find us on Facebook.